Why can't I go outside to play now? Please? I really want to go outside and play with my friends. Come on. They're waiting for me. Please? And if you let me go, I promise I won't get dirty. And I'll even come back as soon as you call for me. Really. And you know what else I'll do? If I can go out now, I'll clean my room tonight. Okay? Okay? Ugh. Don't you want me to have any friends? No one's going to want to play with me if you don't let me go out. They're going to play without me. Ugh. If I can't go out, I'm never going to help with anything around this house again. You are all so mean. I hate this family. I'm just going to go outside anyway.
Why can't I use the car tonight? Please? I really need it tonight. Please, can I use it just for a while? I promise I'll bring it back on time. And you know what? I'll even fill it up with gas. I'll fill it up with gas. And this weekend, I'll even wash the car. Oh, why are you being so mean? I just want to see my friends. Don't you care about me being happy? Don't you want me to have friends? Oh, fine. Then I'll just sit in my room all the time now since you won't let me have any friends. I hate this family. I'm never doing anything with any of you ever again, and I'm going to find another set of keys and use the car anyway. What do you think of that?
Welcome to Listen to Child Sense. I'm John Halpern.
And I'm Jeff Fink.
And today we're going to talk about what your kids do when you say no.
In the first two scenarios, did you hear anything that sounded familiar? Do your children try to get you to change your mind when you say no? If they do, you're not alone. This happens to all of us. Setting limits and boundaries is part of being a parent. And it's natural for kids to test those boundaries. So when kids say, no, I'm not following the rules or expectations, what happens?
Well, they probably don't come up and thank us. They don't say things like, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. I'm glad you're holding me accountable. My other friends, their parents, let them do whatever they want, but I'm glad you don't do that. No, I don't think they do that. What they do, however, is take us through a set of predictable maneuvers. It's kind of like a dance that they do with us to see if they can get us to change our mind.
We call this dance the consequence polka, and it has four predictable steps. The first step we call begging and pleading.
Why can't I go outside to play now? Please? I really want to go outside and play with my friends. Come on. They're waiting for me. Please?
Why can't I use the car tonight? Please? I really need it tonight. Please, can I use it just for a while? This is where kids beg and plead. The little kids, the kindergartners, and the preschoolers, they might go for an incredible amount of time. They might pull on our pant leg or pull on our shirt. They might cry. But even the older kids do the begging and the pleading as well. This step can be incredibly exhausting, and it can wear us down.
It can sound lots of different ways for different ages of kids. Some kids might say, can I just stay up for another half hour? Or, I want one more cookie. Or, why can't I go over to my friend's house? I can remember when my kids were younger, this would work really well on me, especially when I was really tired or if I had a long week or a long day. Sometimes I wondered if my kids could sense that, and that's when they would use this technique.
When parents don't give in because of the begging and pleading, kids often go to the second step, promising and negotiating. And you know what? I'll even fill it up with gas. I'll fill it up with gas. And this weekend, I'll even wash the car.
And if you let me go, I promise I won't get dirty. And I'll even come back as soon as you call for me. Really. And you know what else I'll do? If I can go out now, I'll clean my room tonight. Okay? Okay? Promising and negotiating can be really effective because it appeals to our sense of logic and fair play. Parents are tempted to give in to this because it sounds so reasonable and sincere. It might sound like this.
I promise I won't do it again. I just got too excited. I'll do better next time. I promise. I've learned my lesson now. If you give me another chance, I'll wash all the dishes. This step, promising and negotiating, is a little more sophisticated than the begging and the pleading. You often see children around 8 years old begin to figure out how to negotiate a consequence in an attempt to get their parents to change their mind.
If promising and negotiating doesn't get parents to change their minds, sometimes kids will then move to the next step, guilting and threatening. Well, don't you want me to have any friends? No one's going to want to play with me if you don't let me go out. They're going to play without me. Ugh, if I can't go out, I'm never going to help with anything around this house again.
Oh, why are you being so mean? I just want to see my friends. Don't you care about me being happy? Don't you want me to have friends? Guilting and threatening is tough to resist because it hits parents at an emotional level. It might sound like this.
None of my other friends' parents would do this. Or, did you have a bad day today? Or, you don't love me. Or, fine, if you don't let me do it, I'm going to break this. Or, this is only the first time I've ever done this. Guilting and threatening can make it tough for parents to stay firm. Now, when you listen to all three of these maneuvers, are there certain ones that made it more tempting for you, that you would have been likely to give in? Was it the begging and pleading? Please, please let me have another chance. Please let me do this. Was it the promising and negotiating? I promise if you just let me do it, I'll do what you want. Or was it the guilting and threatening? You don't love me. You don't care about me anymore. Or I'm going to do something really bad if you don't let me do this.
Were you able to identify which of the three steps is more tempting for you to give in? So what happens if we do give in? Well, kids learn that no doesn't always mean no, and that they can find ways to get us to change our mind. When children realize their parents' decision is final, some will move it into the fourth step of the dance, rebelling and isolating. Oh, fine, fine. Then I'll just sit in my room all the time now since you won't let me have any friends. I hate this family. I'm never doing anything with any of you ever again, and I'm going to find another set of keys and use the car anyway. What do you think of that?
Ugh. If I can't go out, I'm never going to help with anything around this house again. You are all so mean. I hate this family. I'm just going to go outside anyway. Rebelling and isolating is when children realize their parents aren't going to change their minds, and they might move it into some form of a tantrum. A tantrum could look different depending on the age of the child, and it might sound like this.
I hate this family. I'm never going to help with anything again in this house. Just leave me alone. I'm going to stay in my room. It could also include some form of violence, such as knocking over furniture, punching their sibling, or throwing their toys. While this reaction probably won't get us to change our mind, we're probably not going to say after our child throws toys that, "Wow, I didn't realize how important this was to you. Yes, you can do it." But what it might do is plant a seed for the future. We might think, "Oh boy, here we go again. I remember last time I stayed firm and didn't change my mind. My child tantrumed. They threw their toys. They punched their brother. So I'm just going to cut my losses and give in." This is especially hard for parents to hold firm when they're out in public. Giving in because we're fearful that our child might tantrum or resort to violence only teaches our children that violence works. And that certainly isn't the message we want to send to our children. Kids don't always go in order of the four steps of the dance. An author and educator, Robert McKenzie, talks about how kids do their research, and they pay attention to what works or what influences mom and dad. And so if they realize, when I say to dad, "You don't love me," that is probably going to be where they go to try to get dad to change their mind. And when they say to mom, "But I'll wash all the dishes tonight, even though it's not my turn to do the dishes," that seems to cause mom to change her mind.
So why do parents give in? What makes it hard to stand firm? Well, sometimes it's because it's exhausting to be a parent. It's hard to stand firm all the time and not give in. So fatigue can be one of the reasons why it's hard to stay firm.
A second reason might be fear of having your child have a tantrum, especially in public places.
It also might be because they've given in to another child in their family and they want to be consistent.
Or they might want to just avoid a conflict.
Of course, one of the reasons it's hard to stay firm is we want our kids to be happy.
As parents, what makes it more likely for you to give in?
So what happens to our relationship with our children when we give in?
Well, it probably feels like our relationship has improved. Our children might say, "You're the greatest dad. You're the best mom. I love you." But shortly after, our relationship goes down because our children aren't sure when no means no. They aren't able to count on us to keep our word.
And what happens to our relationship when, as parents, we stay firm?
Well, at first it seems to go down. Most of us have heard our children say, "I hate you, you're mean," when we stuck to our word. But shortly after that, it goes up, because kids know that when the parent says no, they mean no. Your children only have to think about their behavior, not their behavior and their parents' behavior, wondering, "What is my mom or dad going to do?" I think one of the greatest gifts we can give our children is to be consistent, to let them know that when we say something is going to happen, it does. Children can't change their behavior unless they think about their behavior. But if they're having to think about not only their behavior, but our behavior, it only encourages our children to continue to argue.
I can remember when my kids were younger, at times I held them accountable, stayed firm, they would get pretty mad at me. And they would have to have some consequence and seem to really not want to do that. And I thought they were going to be mad at me for a long time. But shortly after that, they would come up and give me a hug. And that always really surprised me until I realized they like the consistency. It feels good to know that when your parents say something's going to happen, it does happen. That showed me that they knew this didn't change our relationship. They knew I still loved them, even though I was holding firm, and it was making them unhappy. they knew the relationship was intact.
So are there ever times that we give in or that we demonstrate flexibility? Of course there are. However, the key is to demonstrate that flexibility before any decision has been made, before we say no. An example might be your high school child might ask you if they can stay out later than usual. There are times you might say yes. Or your younger child might ask if they can have a second cookie. There are times you might say yes, which is a whole lot different than giving in because of their arguing.
Sometimes when we hold firm, don't let kids have their way, they engage in behaviors that we might consider having gone a little too far. They might have broken something or hit somebody or said things that aren't okay. And it's tempting to want to teach them a lesson about managing their anger at that time. However, if we engage them during these fits of anger on their part or our part, it usually just makes things worse. It's better to stay firm with the original decision, and if we need to talk to our kids about their behavior, or if they have to do something to fix things that they did, better done at a different time, when both they're more calm and you're more calm. Parenting is hard.
Yet we believe that the greatest gift you can give your children is that you keep your word, and that when you say no, you mean no, and they don't have to question what you say.
And it's important to resist the efforts our kids make to get us to change our minds. And sometimes it's easier to resist that if we know the methods that kids typically go through to do that. We know the longer parents can stay firm and be consistent, the more likely it is that the arguing will go down.
It's also comforting to know that our relationship actually improves with our children when we're consistent and follow through with what we say. It may not feel like it at the moment, but things actually do get better.
Not knowing what parents are going to do, or not knowing if you can change your parents' mind, can actually cause a lot of anxiety. And sometimes the arguing that kids do is because they're feeling uncomfortable and anxious because of that uncertainty. And finally, if things are too overwhelming, if they seem too complicated to hold your kids accountable to stay firm, if things get too violent at home with your kids, or their anger or your anger gets out of control, we'd recommend seeking some outside help. Speak with your physicians, speak with counselors, speak with psychologists, speak with school personnel, and get the help that can bring some stability and comfort back to everybody in your family.
Thanks for listening to What Do Your Kids Do When You Say No? Your kids are lucky to have parents who are constantly trying to improve their parenting skills.
If you found our podcast helpful and would like to see some of this in action, you can stream our video, Setting Limits and Boundaries, How to Say No to Your Kids, off of our website at childsense.net.
We also hope you follow us on Apple or Spotify or on our website at childsense.net.
And please tune in to our next podcast that will be coming out in May.
John and Jeff offer presentations on a number of topics related to working with children. Their entertaining style makes for a memorable learning environment where content is retained for the future use of the participants. Please contact John and Jeff at ChildSense for more information.